Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's an absolute privilege to share the message of God's unconditional love with you in the area of the fulfillment of the law. So many times when we think of the fulfillment of the law, fear comes into our hearts because we say, well, if there's no law, how will there be any righteousness? There will be lawlessness. Now, I've got good news for you. The fulfillment of the law is not lawlessness. There will be a new law in your life. The law of sin and death is what rules in you when you are under rules and regulations. When Adam sinned, when Adam disobeyed, and he went into, by what I do, I'll become, death came unto all of us. And you might say, but Bertie, if God has not given the law in the Garden of Eden, why did Adam then disobey? Because if there was no law, how could he disobey? There was a law. It was called the law of life. He said, God said, if you believe on me, if I put it in my own words, if you put it in the New Testament context, if you live by me, you will live. But if you break that law by saying, I will not live by you, O God, but I will live by what I can do, that's breaking the law of life. Now, when he broke that law, when he disobeyed the law of life, the new law that's been given, Jesus said it clearly. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you must believe on me. And out of that commandment, love others. That's what you can go and read in 1 John chapter 3 from verse 20, 21, round about there. That is the new commandment. Paul says that the right things that I write unto you, if you are spiritual, you will see it as a commandment. So the message of grace must become a commandment unto you in this sense, that that is the only way unto life. If I don't have faith in Jesus, if I don't believe on Jesus, if I don't receive it for free, if it's not by His obedience and by what He's done, I will not have life and life everlasting. I will not have abundance, I will not have prosperity, and I will not be set free from the bondage of sin. In the previous broadcast, we spoke about being enslaved under sin and being enslaved under righteousness. When we get into the message of grace, the law of life comes into us and we start to live the life of Christ. Let me put it in other words. Christ starts to live in you. You almost, and I know this might shake some religious guys, but you almost become a puppet. When we were under the law, we were a puppet of sin. But when we are under grace, we are enslaved under grace. We do as God moves His fingers. We are God's puppet with our own personality. We will live Christ. Christ will live through us. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? I don't want to live myself. I want to see Christ living in me. I want to live the Christ life. And the only way for you to live the Christ life, the only way for you to have victory and God living through you is by getting rid of the old law. Paul calls the system that says, by what I do, I'll become, he calls it dung. He says, I never want to have anything to do with it. I want to know Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to know. Why? So that the righteousness of God can be revealed in me, and that to the point that I might even attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And that's what Paul speaks of, immortality. So the more we get into righteousness, the more life will manifest in us. The more we get into the fulfillment of the law, the finished work of Jesus, what He's done for you, the more life will manifest in you. So never think that the message of grace is a license unto sin or an authority for sin. It's not an authority for sin. Never think that the law is a message that promotes righteousness. The law message, by what you do, you'll become. Never think that that is the authority unto, by this I'm going to be holy. That is the authority unto sin. The message of grace is the license unto righteousness, and the message of the law is what shows you your sin. Hallelujah. So never be confused by that. Let's live the message of God's life. Amen. We're going to get more into that today. And we're going to just speak a little bit about the interpretation of the law. The law is spiritual. We must realize that the law is not bad. The law is good. What's bad is you trying to be like God by doing the law. That's bad. That brings forth sin in your life. But the law is spiritual. We're going to read that. And I just thought it good to speak a little bit about the law being good. Because so many times people might think that, I mean, I've done how many sessions on the fulfillment of the law, that I might say the law is bad and the law is sin. The law is not sin. The law is holy. But if we don't interpret the law the right way, the way it's supposed to be interpreted, we will not see what God wants us to see in the law. Right, verse 14, Romans chapter 7, verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin." Now, what does the Bible say there? Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual. So the law is not carnal. The law is not sinful. It is spiritual. And we are, as Christians, supposed to be spiritual. Now, let's read Romans 8 from verse 6 as well. Remember, before I read that, Paul said that he is carnal and sold under sin. Man's ability, man's effort to obey the law, that's carnality. Carnality is to see what you can do to be like God by obeying rules and regulations. So your carnality is brought forth the moment you say, I'll be holy by what I do, or I'll be blessed by what I do. Now let's read Romans 8 from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now what does it say here? And let me read it again, because it is, I want you to rehear the scripture. It is so powerful. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after by what you do, you'll become. They that are after works. Then it speaks of the Jewish nation as well. Those people that are after bloodline things, what nation you from, they are minding the things of the flesh and then all the commandments that comes with it. It says they are fleshly. But they that are after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saying, I'm not holy by what I do, but I'm holy by the Holy Spirit that indwells me. Okay? They mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or law-minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now it also says that the law is spiritual. So you can look at the law in two ways. You can look at the law from a carnal point of view, and you can look at the law from a spiritual point of view. Now, if you look at the law from a spiritual point of view, you will have life. But if you look at the law from a carnal point of view, in other words, when you connect yourself to the law, when you connect your deeds to the law, you, yourself to that law, you know what happens? Death is in you. You are carnally minded, and that is not life and peace, but that is death. Now, I don't want you to have death. God doesn't want me to have death. God doesn't want you to have death. He wants us to have abundance of life. Now, the only way we're going to have abundance of life is to have a spiritual mind. Now, you cannot understand the law unless you are born of God. You cannot interpret the law unless Christ lives in you and you've got an enlightened mind. It would be impossible, because you will always see what you must do when you read the law. Where the Bible clearly says that the law is spiritual. And then he says that the carnal things, the do's and don'ts, that is fleshly. So we must look at the law from the perspective of the finished work of Jesus to read the law as a spiritual law. Otherwise, the law is not going to be spiritual, but it's going to be the ministration of death unto you. Is going to be the ministration of absolute death and just destruction unto you. God wants you to have life. Therefore, we can interpret the law spiritually. Now, the word for law in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Torah. Now, it contains three Hebrew characters. It is Taf, Resh, and Hey. Taf is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is a cross. Resh is the picture of a mind, of a man's head, which speaks of a mind or to think. And then He is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which speaks of grace. So the word law means, according to my interpretation of it, because the Bible says the law is spiritual. And Jesus and the New Testament is called the it's called spiritual, and the law is called carnality. The Old Testament is called human efforts, doings. But the Spirit, the New Testament, is spiritual. So let's see the New Testament, even in the Hebrew character there. It's Torah. Taf, resh, hey. Taf, across, resh, the mind or to think, hey, grace. When you read the law, you must see the cross with your mind upon grace. You must see the cross with your mind upon how Jesus influenced man. Hallelujah. That's when you read the law. That's what you must see. The name Torah, that's what it spells. So if you read the law and you don't see the cross, you will not have your mind upon grace. Sometimes when you read the law, we see our own cross. We see what we must sacrifice for God. And then our mind is not upon grace, but our minds are all upon do's and don'ts, condemnation, judgment, punishment, death, and everything that goes with it. Now, when you read the law, the commandments, the do's and don'ts from Exodus and Deuteronomy and all those things, when you read that, you must see the cross of Jesus if you are spiritual. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Because those who are spiritually minded. Their minds see Jesus. The word Torah, the cross, with your mind upon grace. Isn't that beautiful? So when we read the law, that is what we are supposed to read, and that is what we are supposed to see. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 21, and we're just going to just see a little bit more about that and how the law speaks of Jesus. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, what does he say here? It says here, let's read verse 21 again. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, that witness is the Greek word which means to testify or to speak of. So, the righteousness which is without the law, which is by faith, the law and the prophets witnesses or speaks or testifies about that. Let's read it again because I want you to see this. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being spoken of or testified of by the law and the prophets. So when you read the law and the prophets, what are you supposed to read if you are spiritual? It's very easy. You are supposed to read that the righteousness of God without the law is supposed to be manifested. That's what it says, because the law and the prophets witnesses of righteousness being manifested by faith without the law. And then verse 22, even the righteousness of God. So it doesn't even just say the righteousness of the law. It says the law and the prophets, when we read the law and the prophets, when you read Torah, the cross with your mind upon grace, what you will see is that it tells you that the very righteousness of God is being manifested through faith unto everybody that believes. Isn't that powerful? Man, that's the way you're supposed to read the law. Now let's go to John chapter 5 and verse 39. And we're just going to see exactly what Jesus said, because the Bible's full of this. Here's the Pharisees, and they are searching the scriptures. They are trying their best to just, serve God, be acceptable to God, searching the scriptures. Listen to what Jesus says. And now listen, the Pharisees were preachers of Moses. They had the first five books of the Bible. They had the Psalms, the prophets, and Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the small prophets. That's what they believed in. And that's what was called the Torah or the law. The Torah was the first five books, then you get the prophets, which was the rest. Now it says here, you search, verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And And they are they which speak of me. Hallelujah. You see what it says there? It says, you are searching the scriptures. You are searching the law. What must I do to have life? What must I do to be blessed? What must I do to be prosperous? Let's take finances, and this is a very good example. Lord, what does your scripture say? What must I do to prosper financially? And you read a lot of things in the Bible thinking that's what you must do to prosper. But that scripture concerning that money does not speak about what you must do. It speaks of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you cannot see Jesus in that scripture, you're not seeing the Word of God. You're not reading the Torah. You're not thinking of the cross with your mind upon grace. You're reading the part that proves you to be guilty, a sinner, not deserving anything, piece of nothing. That's what you see. You're supposed to see the life of God when you read the law. Here it says, search the scriptures. You are searching the scriptures, you Pharisees, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So what does the law speak of? It speaks of Jesus. So why do you see yourself when you read the law? Why do you see your guilt when you read the law? The New Testament believer, when he reads the law, he must see Jesus, not shortcomings. He must not feel guilt and condemnation once. Whenever he sees a scripture that says in Deuteronomy 28, let's quickly go there and let me explain this. Man, this is an I'm blessed by this. It's just such a freedom. Now let's read from verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, if I read it with a spiritual mind, if I read the Torah, the cross, with a mind upon grace, I say, oh, hallelujah. And it shall come to pass, if Jesus shall diligently obey the voice of the Lord his God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which the Father commands Jesus this day, that the Lord God will set Jesus upon high above all the nations, and I am in Christ. Hallelujah, man. If you don't enjoy this, I enjoy this, and I believe God in heaven and everybody in heaven enjoys this with me, because this is the good news. This is the message of freedom. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you do not come to me that you might, and will not come to me that you might have life. Now, so many times people don't want to come to Jesus, but they want to be married to the law. Let's be set free, man. Let's read the New Testament way of the interpretation of the law. And there's so many other scriptures which I don't have time for to get into now. But God wants you to just absolutely see the freedom of Jesus. Maybe we can just get into one scripture there quickly. Let's run to Galatians chapter 3 verse 21. Galatians chapter 3 verse 21. If we can read the law as something that points to Jesus. Remember what the Bible says, through the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So why was the law given? It was given to tell you you're a sinner, and that was it towards you. And then it was given so that Jesus could obey it, so that righteousness could come to through his obedience unto you. Through the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Obedience to what? To the law. He had to come to fulfill the law. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, very righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has included all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster, listen to this, wherefore the law was a schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Hallelujah. So what is the law? The law is supposed to point out Christ so that you can be justified by faith. If you read the Ten Commandments, what you must see is, I'm justified by faith and not by what I do. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? That is exactly what God wants you to walk in. He wants you to walk in that. Let's go to 2 Timothy quickly. That's also very powerful. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Now listen to this when he speaks of the scriptures. He says, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, speaking of the Torah, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now isn't that powerful? He says, you've known the scriptures, which, what does the scripture do? It shows you, let's read it again, which makes you wise unto salvation. Verse 16. All scripture, all of the law, the Torah, has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then let me read it again because this is so, so powerful. If you read the law with a spiritual mind, you'll see Jesus. That's why I can read any scripture in this Bible. I don't care where it is. It points to the cross. It puts my mind upon the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Verse 15. And that from a child you, Timothy, has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. All scripture that Timothy knew, which was the Old Testament scriptures, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for inspiration. In what? In righteousness. So the whole law is there, if you spiritually interpret it through Christ, to show you how righteous you are. The holiness of the law is what came into you through the obedience of Jesus. Let's see Christ and be holy. Amen. Man, if this has just blessed you, I would love to hear from you. Our ministry products are available for a donation of any amount. We've also got a wonderful series out on finances, a 12-part series. We take every scripture, basically every scripture concerning finances in the New Testament and Old Testament, and we connect it to grace and not what you must do to be blessed. But we connect it to what Jesus has done to bring prosperity unto you. We take scriptures in Malachi chapter 3 and show how the tithe that had to be paid was pointing to Jesus and how He paid the tithe. Hallelujah. So many things can be seen in this and can set you so free. That is also up for a donation of any amount. And if you cannot donate, we are willing to send this to you free of charge for those who just cannot give anything. Man, thank you that you've just been part of this. Thank you that you enjoy this with me. Let me pray for everybody that's got a need right now. Maybe you've got a sickness in your body. Maybe you just feel, man, this has just blown my mind away. I never thought of reading the law in that sense. And I just need some prayer and a touch from God. And sometimes our worlds are shaken through this because everything will be shaken that's not of God. So let's just receive the peace of God. Father, I just speak the peace, your peace, over everybody that's watching me right now. Thank you for your presence that just flows through them. Thank you for stability in their minds and understanding. Healing is being spoken right now over every sickness and disease, over every cancer, HIV, AIDS, every need there is. I declare in Jesus' mighty name, by the grace, the cross of God, that you are now healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.